Sometimes when we are walking through this life, we're going through troubles, people ask that question, where is God? And sometimes they add this to it, when I really need him, where is God? And that's when our faith is challenged. And there's times where we don't want our faith challenged. We just want to have a great week. We just want to have a great day. We just want to have a great time. And all of a sudden, our faith gets challenged. It could happen in many simple ways, such as the propane guy comes twice within 60 days and you owe $900 in propane bills. Your faith is challenged. Where am I going to get the $900? Or something else may happen. Something may happen in your life, a walk through your life that just challenges you, and your question is, where is God? The Bible is full of stories where people, just like you and I, different eras of time, were challenged in their faith. The Red Sea. That's quite a challenge. The Jordan River. That's quite a challenge. Jericho is quite a challenge. And I can go through all this. Gideon was challenged by faith. He was inside a wine barrel threshing wheat. So in other words, he was doing something somewhere where it didn't make sense to do it. Now, maybe you've never found yourself there doing something somewhere that didn't make sense to do it. But all of a sudden, an angel shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor. His faith was challenged. I'm sure he looked over his shoulder thinking, is somebody else in this wine vat with me? Is somebody else here? You know, I'm as afraid as I can possibly be of the Midianites. My father has got an altar in the backyard that he worships daily to Baal, and an angel's talking to me. I'm getting a little challenge here. This is it. You know, I think David was faced with challenges through his whole life, especially when he had to face Goliath. You know, there's an 11-foot guy standing there with a spear that's 9 feet long and mean. Let's just call him a pit bull. The largest pit bull anybody's ever seen. And David walks up there as a poodle and says to the pit bull, I'm going to take you out right here. This is it. His faith is challenged. In the back of his mind, if he was human like you and I are, which he is and was and now he's heavenly. There's a thought in our mind, I hope this works. I'm going to believe God for this to work. Sometimes your faith is challenged when you're driving down the freeway, just enjoying some Christian music, or maybe you're listening to, you know, the 70s rock. I don't know what you're into. You know, you may be listening to that stuff that came in the 80s, which I couldn't believe they wanted to replace, you know, Led Zeppelin and everybody with these guys in the 80s. Like, what? You know, but you're driving down the road and all of a sudden your gas gauge says you need gas. And you're sitting next to your wife and she goes, why didn't you look at that? And I answered her on 880. We had such a great service and everything was so cool. I didn't even realize that it was. I just, you know, we have 5 miles to go and the gas. 5 miles and we are on 880 slowly moving. Which makes it even worse, you know. It'd be all right if you were going like 80 miles an hour because you feel like you get there quicker, you know. But you're going like 10 or 15 and you're in the middle lane. And you're looking all over the place for somebody that sells diesel. I mean, you don't even care at this time if it's a sign that you don't even know what company they are, as long as they have diesel. And your faith is challenged, and your wife is saying, what are we going to do? And your faith is challenged with that question too, because you got to come up with a good answer. I had to look at Kathy and I said, I just believe we're going to find a gas station. We couldn't find one. We couldn't see it. And then she got on the phone. My wife gets on the phone and she can find anything on that phone. She found there's a diesel station 4 miles from here. We got to get off at this exit. So we get off at the exit. We find ourselves over there by all the boats in Oakland there, you know. And there's no gas station. So we just start going up this road hoping. There's still no gas station. I'm inside freaking out because I've made a promise to her that we're going to find gas. We don't have a gas car. We have a diesel car, which makes our faith even challenged more. So we take a right, I believe it was on 4th Street. And we are now on zero. The little thing, I think they put that there to freak you out. It said miles left, zero. You know, I mean, I don't mind the streets. I grew up in Cleveland, so the streets doesn't scare my wife. That didn't bother me at all. It's just that I didn't want to run out of gas and have nowhere to get diesel. So we're at zero. My faith is like max challenge, like right now. Inside, I'm going, where are you, God? Uh-oh, that's the name of the message. Where are you, God? Where is God right now? And I need him. And all of a sudden, I look to the left and there's a Shell station that we didn't see. And guess what? It sold diesel at 0 miles. Sometimes your faith is challenged to the very zero of your walk. And you know what? At that point, you don't care how much the diesel costs. If you're a cheap guy like me, or a budget guy like me, you look at diesel, you want diesel to be around 265, 235. This was like 529, and I was thanking God for 529. So sometimes when your faith is challenged, you'll just begin to praise God when it's answered. Amen. Are you with me? Well, let me take you through some scriptures here after I told you the story that will help you, it really will. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says this really, really cool thing. It says, be strong and of good courage. You know, when God tells you to be strong and of good courage, that means something's coming. A test is coming. You know, God just didn't decide to say that to you. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. That's of them is the test that's coming. Something's coming your way and you don't know what you're going to do with it. It could be a test in school. It could be an application for a new position in the company. It could be something. Something's coming your way. And God is saying, be strong and of good courage. Don't fear nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. You see, sometimes we forget that God was in our Volkswagen. Sometimes when we're tested, we forget God even exists. It's easy to think God exists in a sanctuary where you're praising God. And you have other people around you that may have said to you this morning, wow, good to see you. I'm glad you're here. You look great. Get some coffee. I mean, you feel welcome. You feel comforted. You feel encouraged. You have all this going around you and everything's fine. And you don't say, where is God? You're about to hear from the pastor. Where is God? We sing songs to God. Where is God? We're just, man, our faith is so big right now. Get out of here, devil. You don't even have to say in Jesus' name. That's how great your faith is right there. Get out of here, devil. Now get out of here because I'm in church. But sometimes when you're outside in normal life, when a big bill comes, you didn't get the job, your car is at 0 miles, you ask, where are you, God? Maybe your child goes through something. Maybe something's going on in your relationship. Maybe something's happening in life. That's the normalities of life that takes you to the end. We got to be reminded that he goes with you. I love what it says in Exodus 32. It was really important that Moses was asked to take the Israelites to go further. And God said to him, I'm going to send an angel with you to go with you. Now, he's had the angel of the Lord. He's had the pillar of fire. He's had the cloud by day. He's had all this good stuff there. He's had all these miracles. So having the thought of an angel going with him was something he was used to. You know, wow. I mean, let's get into 2017 today, April 2nd, and God speaks to you and said, I've got an angel going to travel with you today. And you look over and there's this big, beautiful angel, man. He's all muscular. He's big. He's got a sword, a fiery chariot. You know, he's all that you ever think an angel would be. And you're going, wow, thanks, God. This is going to be great. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make it there. I'm going to get through traffic. Things are great. Praise God. An angel's going with me. You know what Moses said to God? No. He was at a point with his walk with God and what was going on and the things that have happened throughout their travels from being in captivity for 400 years now and traveling through this desert. He said, I'm not going lest you go with me, God. In other words, we're not going. You send an angel all you want, but I'm not going. We're not going. That angel's going alone. Basically, is what he's saying. We're going to go only if you go with me. If you travel with us. And of course, then he has that great experience with God in Exodus 33 where God just picks him up. Because Moses got a little bold. He says, you know what? And by the way, show me your glory. God picks him up and puts him in the cleft of the rock, representing Jesus Christ, the rock, and the cleft hidden inside Jesus. And God goes by him, and he sees the rearward of God, and he sees the abundant kindness, the abundant goodness, and the mercy of God. You see, he was comforted. His faith had been challenged over and over again, and it was time where he wanted to see God's glory. You see, we're going to end up someday right in the midst of God's glory. If we continue to walk with God, if we don't just throw this relationship aside and say, I'm going to take hold of what the world offers me, because whatever the world offers me is tangible. I can see this. I can feel it. I can taste it. That, you know, it seems real to me. I'm going to say to you today something that's very important. God is real. He's very real and he's very much in love with you all. He loves us. He gave his only begotten son to die for us. We're going to celebrate that in just a few weeks. We're celebrating death. Now, sometimes when you think celebrating death, you think everybody comes in and they got little, those, what are those little things? What do they call them? You blow on this thing and that thing unwinds and goes back, woo! You know, and everybody's got a toot horn and everybody's got this thing happening, got party hats on, and you're celebrating death and everything. You know, when we celebrate death, we're celebrating the fact that someone is with the Lord. We're not going to come to church Easter Sunday going, yay, Jesus died on Friday. That was cool to go through. We're going to be celebrating that he's alive. He's alive. And he's with us. And listen what he says here. He will not leave you nor forsake you. His presence is always with us. We just forget he's there. We know he's there when everything's going great. But when troubles come, when the waves get too high, the river gets too deep, the ocean gets too wide, the mountain gets too high, or the valley is too dark, where are you, God? Where are you? Did you forget about me? Did you forget about me? Do you know what I loved about Nehemiah? Nehemiah went and took care of this whole thing. He administrated this whole rebuilding of the wall. He was a cupbearer. He wasn't a construction man. But he had a gift from God to organize and get everybody there to build the wall around Jerusalem again. And he says three times in the book of Nehemiah, God, remember the good that I have done. And he also references in Nehemiah, and don't forget the evil that they have done. You see what I'm saying to you? There are times when we walk with God where we just want to say, God, don't forget what good I've done. Don't forget what I'm doing. But let's move on here. So let's see this. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now listen, our conduct, we shouldn't be coveting anything. Somebody gets something new, don't covet it. Be encouraged and blessed by it. Amen. We're not to covet things. Man, I really like those clothes that person's wearing. Man, I wish I had those. I wish I lived in a house like this. I wish that. You know, we should be content with what we have. What we have is a gift from God. And what we have, God has meant for our life. God has blessed us what He's going to bless us with. And if we have enough faith, if we believe God, He's going to bless us with more. We should build each other up, not tear each other down. We should be uplifting. We should think of others better than ourselves. We should love our enemies. We should pray for our enemies. We should give a coat to somebody who needs a coat. We should give help to somebody who needs help. We should care for those. And we should always seek God for others' behalf. Don't covet. Covet's horrible. It gets you depressed. Somebody drives up with a brand new Mercedes and you drive up with a thumper. You know what a thumper is? That's a car that goes down the road and it goes thump, 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 thump. You know, and by the time it gets to your destination, you turn it off, this big old backfire comes out of the car and everybody looks at you, you know. And they're thinking, who are they? Then the guy drives down or the gal drives down with this beautiful Mercedes. I mean, it's so beautiful. You know, everywhere they go, they pull up and everybody goes, whoa, look at that car. Don't covet. Don't covet. Let God be in you and be content with what you have. And listen to what He says. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Don't let man freak you out. Don't let this world, in the way it's spinning right now, don't get worried. God is with us. Just because it may not go in the way you think it should be going, it doesn't mean God doesn't know what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what He's doing. He knows what He's doing with our government. He knows what He's doing with our church. He knows what He's doing across the world. He knows what He's doing in evangelism and mission work. He knows exactly what He's doing. Pastor, this world's coming apart. I don't even know if I can be content if I had a lot. I mean, I'm a little nervous every time I turn around. There's somebody shot, shootings here, bombings there. What's going on? I don't even know whether or not tomorrow's going to come. I have no idea if North Korea's going to push a button and that missile's going to land in my backyard. That's how much fear people live in. Be content. If you know Jesus, you have no worries. If your relationship is kind of flip-flop with Jesus, you have some worries. Because he may catch you on the flop. What do you mean by that? You know, the 10 virgins. 5 of them kept their oil going. 5 of them let it go out. When Jesus showed up, the 5 that had the oil got to go, and the other one said, can I borrow some of your oil? And I said, no, we got enough to go. You see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say to you is this. Be content with your relationship with God. Don't covet the things of this world that it breaks your relationship with God. Be thankful that you have a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory that loves you so much that you can say, He's my helper. I truly believe God got us to that Shell station. And every time I drive on 880, I see that big Shell sign over there now because I know where to locate it with my eyesight. I go, thank you, Father. Praise God. Thank you. You helped us get to that gas station. You helped me look good in front of my wife. Thank you, God. My faith was challenged, but I rose to the occasion, and God, you met my faith. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to live in fear. Fear is paralyzing. Am I helping anybody today? Fear is paralyzing. Fear will get your countenance to look like you're angry. Fear will get your countenance to look like, uh-oh, what am I going to do now? Fear will get you so unbalanced that you don't even know how to answer questions when questions are asked you. Don't fear what this world can do to you, because it cannot get to you when you are content with Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible clearly says in Psalm 91, I'm not going to go through the whole Psalm, but there is 18 blessings in 16 verses. One of those blessings is that you are under the shadow of the pinions of his wings. One of the blessings is that he loves you. Another blessing is that no plague shall come near your dwelling. Wow. And no evil shall befall you. One of the blessings is that a thousand shall fall to the left and 10,000 to the right. My goodness gracious, that is shouting material in my life to know that he cares that much about you. Psalm 121 says, I looked at the hill whence cometh my help, and my help cometh from the Lord. He said, the moon will not burn me by day, nor the sun by day burn me. I shall not put my foot against a rock. He will bless me coming in, and he will bless me going out. Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. His staff comforts me, and his rod protects me. He feeds me. He has me sit down and rest in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. When I look behind me, see who's after me? It's nothing but goodness and mercy, and surely I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. He's our shepherd. He leads us down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me by green pastures, and he leads me by the still waters. He takes care of. I can go through this whole thing with you. What I'm trying to tell you is that God has promised us that we are safe in the shelter of his kingdom. There's also a scripture in the Psalms that says he is a shelter to his anointed. The Bible says he's a shield about us and a lifter of our head. You see what I'm saying? There he is a shield and a lifter of our head. He is that person that will do that for us and care for us and bless us. He watches our steps. He guides our steps. Let's go to Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all to observe things that I have commanded you individually. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now listen to me. He ends it with amen, which simply means so be it. That's the greatest period you'll ever have. Amen. Sometimes when I'm preaching a long time and I say amen, the last thing I say is amen. Everybody goes, yay. What I'm trying to say to you right now is the fact that is this. Is that he is saying to you, I've got all authority. I'm giving you this authority. I'm sending you out to tell people about who I am. And I'm with you. So when you're out there and you think I'm not there, I'm there. I'm there because I know who I am and you know who I am. And I know who you are. And I want you to embrace the scripture. I want you to embrace the promise. I want you to embrace the presence of the Lord your God. And I think it's really, really important that we lead four things or four important aspects to keep in mind. And I'm closing after this. Number one, to be strong through adversity. Adversity will come at the most unwanted times, and that's all the time, because I don't know anybody that wants adversity. Right. It will come. Shockwaves will go through your body. Statements will be like, I never saw this coming. If it's another person that has affected your life, you will go, why did you do this? What's going on? If it's a boss or an employer that says, next week, we're closing the business, but today, you're leaving. Adversity. Be strong. Jesus is there with you. Jesus is there. He's not... He saw this coming. I tell people this sometimes when I'm ministering to them privately. They're so depressed, and rightfully so. They're going through something that's really intense. And I tell them, God knew this was coming before you did. And He loves you. I've talked to people that have backslid that were actually great pulpiteers, great men or great women of God that could speak eloquently. Backslid outside the church, away from God, and they feel like, I'm done, I'm over. I said, you know what? Before you were born, God knew you. God knew the day you were called, and God knew the way you would speak, and God knew you that you'd be here right now. Don't you realize that God loves you today just as much as He did before you were born, as much as He did when you were growing up, and as much as He did when you were speaking His word? He loves you just the same today. He knows where you're at. And what I'm saying to you is this, that be strong in your adversity. Take your step back towards God. I can't. He can never forgive me. Oh, yes, He can. Listen, if God can forgive me, He can forgive anybody. I may sound like a preacher and I may look like a preacher at times, but let me tell you something right now. If God can forgive me, He can forgive anybody. I just wasn't born in the pews. I wasn't weaned in the church. My diapers weren't changed in the church. My life was not church. My life was street. Making money. 12 years old in the pool hall, Cleveland, Ohio. First gang, 13 years old. With a patch on our back. Growing up with the Hell's Angels in our home, eating Thanksgiving dinner, me wearing their patch, wanting so much to be on that. I remember putting my first jacket on that they were there, and it almost went all the way down to my knees. Violence. Theft. Drugs. Alcohol. God forgave me, set me free, forgived me. That's all over. I speak it today that maybe somebody will hear this message through our digital way of presenting it, or maybe you know somebody, you can say, you know what, I heard a pastor speak today and he was forgiven of a lot of things. You can be forgiven also. understand the darkness of sin. I understand the voice of the devil. I understand the hurt and the pain that a sinner can cause others. I understand what it is to not care about somebody, only care about what you can get or manipulate from them. I understand all that. But God, who is rich in mercy, forgave us of our sins. Am I helping anybody? Secondly, let your faith be bigger than your fear. Fear will be there. I don't care who you are. Your fear is going to get you. But faith is bigger than fear. Faith will get you to the other side of that valley. It'll get you to the other side of that ocean. It'll get you across that mountain. It'll get you through the river. It'll get you through the streams. It'll get you through the tough times. It'll get you to a place to where you may be like the Shulamite woman, and some prophet comes by and says, "Feed me." And all you have is sticks and bread and a little oil, where you're going to make the meal for you and your boy, and you're going to die. He said, "Get me bread first." Faith caused her to have food for the rest of her life. Faith caused her to see her boy raised from the dead by the same prophet who wanted that bread. Her cupboards never went dry. Faith caused the widow of a prophet to go out and borrow vessels and take them in the house and take what little oil she had, and she began to pour the oil, and it never ran out till the debt was paid for her boys to stay home. Faith caused Jesus to walk up the Via Della Rosa, to be hung on a cross that was not pretty, with sinners surrounding him and sinners below him, and his mom and Mary Magdalene and all the other women that used to minister to him standing afar off from a distance watching him suffer. Faith caused him to preach the gospel 7 times from a suffering position. So what I'm saying to you, church, is when you're going through a tough time, speak it. Speak the word. The word will get you through. Yeah. It'll carry you over things that you can't do on your own. Pray the word. How do you pray the word? Open it up and begin to read it out loud. Pray the word. Pray the promises of God during those times of suffering and pain. Make your faith bigger than your fear. If your fear gets bigger than your faith, you're going to get paralyzed. You're going to ask a question, where's God? Where is God? Where is he right now when I need him? Where is he when tragedy happens in such a way that I don't have an explanation for it? Believe me, God is there with you. Thirdly, you have a directive from the Lord. Go. The reason so many Christians don't get anything done is because they stay. They don't move. They don't do anything in ministry. They don't do anything to tell people about Jesus. I want to keep reminding you, and people keep going to restaurants with me, and I keep freaking the people out that are with me in the restaurants, because I'm asking the waitress just the other day at our prayer conference down there, we went to the Cheesecake Factory, and the waitress came up, and I said, "I need to pray for you." She said, "Thank you." I grabbed her hand and I prayed for her and her boyfriend that everything would be all right. You know, you just need to tell people about Jesus. Are you excited about Jesus? Man, I love him. I love to tell people about Jesus. Jesus is really cool. He is really cool. He had long hair and a beard. I love that. He is really, really cool. He died for me. I think that's cool. Not only did he die for me, but he promised me that he would come back. He came back to life on the third day. He rose from the tomb in a bodily resurrection. I think that is really cool. And then he said he's coming back to get us. I love that. He is really cool. You know what he's doing right now while I'm preaching and you're listening? And you're thinking, he better say amen quick because it's been pretty long. You know what he's doing? He's interceding for us. He's calling out your name. He's praying for you. Now, I'll be honest with you. I try to get a hold of Jesus, and I don't know. He'll probably never answer this question, but I ask him all. I've asked him a lot of times. How do you do that? How do you pray for billions of people all the time? That's a lot of praying. How do you call out a name? What do you do? He's not going to answer me because I'm just glad he's praying for me. But I'm bold with God. I ask him all sorts of things. I'm just bold with him. Because it said, come boldly into the throne room of grace. Don't be coming in there squirming and sheepish and standing way back in the ground. You know what? You hear that voice in that voice there in that throne room of grace? That's me shouting, here I am! Answer my prayer! Right here, God, back in the corner. You may not see me there, but that's my voice you hear. Boldly. I believe in faith. I believe in going. I believe in telling people about Jesus Christ. I just believe in it. Everybody in my neighborhood knows I'm a pastor. Why? Because I am. And I tell them. I talk to them about Jesus. My next door neighbors, I talk to them about Jesus. And everybody else isn't. And so when they come up, all of a sudden their language changes. It goes from language that is not clean to language that is as though they just walked out of church. I walked in one time to a house next door. I mean, the guy's a great guy. He's a really good friend. But all of a sudden, he's a World of Warcraft guy. I mean, he's one of the guys that's been with from the beginning. He's got his own server. He's got 5 machines. He's got screens that are big as your living room wall. This guy's in it. He's got it all. And I see this note put on there. Everybody watch your language. A pastor just came in the room. I get a kick out of that. I said, that's great. Let your anointing change people's lives is what I'm saying. Let who your identity is with change the lives of people. Is that all right? You don't have to answer. It's all right to me, praise God. It's all right. Don't be different than what you are in church. This is how I am outside of church. I really am. I mean, seriously, I'm like, just like this. You know, I want to tell people about God. I want to just go ahead. I don't use bad language. You know, I don't have church language and then street language. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that. Amen. I just don't do that. I don't do drugs. I don't do alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes. And I don't do any of that stuff. I don't watch dirty movies. I don't do any of that stuff. You know, I'm a pretty clean guy. I just simply just enjoy Jesus. I love God. How's that? I just love God so much. I just want to be sharing his love to everybody. Amen. Now, I used to be totally opposite of that. Totally opposite of that. Totally opposite. Totally opposite. But God, who's rich in mercy, like I said earlier. And lastly, I love this. Let's just keep this one for sure. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Jesus said in John 14:23 in the Amplified Version, Jesus answered, if anyone really loves me, I love the really there, if you really love him. How many know people that say they love Jesus and their life says they don't? Come on. I go to church with people for years in my past churches and stuff like that. The people, I know they didn't love Jesus. They paid their tithe. They showed up. I know they didn't really love Jesus. Because they talked about everybody else in the church. They never talked about Jesus. They always talked about themselves. You know, it's all about me. How many realize it's just all about Jesus? It really is about him. He will keep my word, teaching, if we keep his word, if we really love him, we keep his teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place within him. I like it because the Bible is very clear that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, God doesn't live in this church. I am so glad for that. It's not big enough. He lives in us. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We've been bought by a price. We are no longer our own. I just want you to get this into your spirit. That God loves you so much that he asks you to do an easy task. Trust him. Know that he's there. Know that he's there. I'm going to give you something here. You probably just have to chew on it a while. We just lost an Irish setter. Had her for 12 years. I cried. I wept. I loved her. I carried her in from outside where I found her underneath a structure where she had gone to die. I carried her in. I put her, I cleaned her up. Put her on the blankets and a pillow. I rubbed her head. I don't know what was going on. But I told her this. I rubbed her head and I said, it's okay to die. It's all right. It's okay. Went and got my wife up and she went in. My wife found her dead. Heartbreaking. I share this as an analogy to you. That God finds us in life hiding underneath a structure, sick with the sins of this world. And he brings us in and he brings us into comfort and he tells us it's okay to die. He's not saying to stop breathing the life that I've given. He said, I want to give you a new life. It's okay to die to this life that you had. It's okay. I felt real odd telling my dog it's okay to die. I really do because, you know, I don't think they speak English, but other people think they do. I don't really know. I just know they don't bark in English. If they did, I would freak. I really would. But I know that that comfort that she felt gave her the right to die. God gives us comfort. He gives us a right to die to the things of this world and to live a life with him. I just want to challenge you today with all that I'm made up of, all that I'm about is telling people about Jesus. It's okay to give your life to God. To totally surrender it to God. It's okay to simply feel God's presence in your life and die to sin. It's okay. When I gave my heart to the Lord in 1976 in a bedroom in Stuart, Florida, I've never looked back. Never looked back. Radical salvation. Never looked back. God has a life for us that is so powerful, so beautiful, so alive. So full of contentment, of healing, restoration, provision. It's an awesome life. And the promises that we have for eternity is amazing. Amazing. Streets of gold, mansions, you know, that's all good. I'm not saying that's bad, that's good. But it's going to be fun being in heaven with everybody. Seeing everybody. I don't know who I'm going to talk to first, but, you know, I'm social. I'm not going to have to tell anybody about Jesus up there. Not that that's a burden, but it's just going to be good. How'd you like to be walking down the street up there and you look over and there's Peter? I'd like to walk up to Peter and say, what was it like to walk with Jesus? And have a conversation with him. Give your heart to the Lord today. Whatever it may be that you're burdened under, whatever has caught you in a prison of fear, the key to get out is faith. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for everybody by the sound of my voice.